Tonight, I want to give you a brief picture of where we're headed in our work on multi-ethnicity. I want to invite you to join us and to help us by praying, by investing, by stepping fully into this journey. And I'm speaking tonight not just as the co-director of the Multi-Ethnic Task Force, but as a member of the GFMLT. And I'll remind you that the task force is playing a catalytic and a resourcing role, but really the GFMLT and all of you are at root the change makers in GFM. The task force will end, and we will be the ones that shape the culture of what GFM is in the future. So the first image that you're going to see here is a picture of the GFM chapter at Virginia Tech. Rob Howe is the staff worker for this chapter. And the Virginia Tech chapter has grown in multi-ethnicity and international student ministry hospitality, mainly by being intentional about invitations, cross-cultural invitations. For instance, Jessica was a quiet Taiwanese-American student who regularly invited others to InterVarsity. One Sunday, Jessica met a new African-American student named Delight at her church. Jessica invited Delight to InterVarsity. Delight was reluctant, but she promised to visit the weekly Bible study one time. To her surprise, Delight felt welcomed, and GCF became a family that helped her make it through her first year of her PhD program. Delight later invited Reggie, a new African-American student in her department, to check out InterVarsity. Reggie, too, found a home in GCF. The next year, Delight and Reggie became chapter leaders. Their invitations have helped the chapter become a hospitable community for many others, including 15 black students. Jessica's cross-cultural hospitality started a chain reaction of invitation that continues to help the chapter at Virginia Tech grow. Pull out that vision mission statement, that vision task statement, and I'd like you to read, the document looks like this, and I'd like you to read the paragraphs, but the GFM statements. And I'll tell you that the paragraphs, which I encourage you to read, are taken directly from InterVarsity's multi-ethnic ministries site, and they describe our multi-ethnic organization-wide vision and task. But in fact, when we as a task force began to work together, we decided that we had to be very clear about what our task in GFM is. One of the things we realize is as we begin to work on specific things, we need a 30,000 foot view of where are we going and why are we going there? What difference would we want this to make in the long run for the kingdom? And then we realized we need a little closer in target to shoot at. We needed a way to think about what we'd like to look at, like what we'd like to look like in 10 years if we were to work hard at it. So last night I read you the vision, and tonight I'd just like to read you the mission, the task. We'd like to equip GFM staff, students, and faculty communities to welcome and develop relevant ministry for students and faculty from all ethnicities on campus. We'd like to enable all GFM teams to be hospitable and reconciled spaces for staff, students, and faculty of all ethnicities and cultures. And we'd like to experience increased multi-ethnic leadership and diversity at all levels of GFM, in part by addressing structural impediments in recruiting, funding, and retaining ethnic minority staff, faculty, and students. It's not really going to be a surprise to many of us that at the heart of our sense of task are students and faculty on campus, communities where students are reaching out to people beyond their typical comfort zones, reaching out beyond what would happen usually in their church or in their neighborhood. Americans inviting internationals, Republicans inviting Democrats, Asians reaching out to African Americans reaching out to Caribbeans, evangelicals inviting Catholics, and first-generation college students inviting the children of millionaires. All into a community that's big enough to contain all of them. We know well that when it comes to race, on Sunday morning, we're as divided as we are at any other time in our culture. An InterVarsity fellowship may be the most ethnically diverse community a Christian in the United States experiences. What if an experience with InterVarsity changed the way our students and faculty thought about their future church communities, thought about their future neighborhoods, for a lifetime and literally around the globe? What if that were true? And it's not so implausible. Now, we know that when we walk into a group and it's largely white, or largely Asian, or largely anything, that there's a reason, often despite the desires and intentions of the leader. When we ask the question, who's not here, which we're training all new staff to ask after they study the demographics of the schools where they're working, we're also asking why. Why is it that certain people haven't made it into the room? When we look at the demographics of a business school or a law school, when we look at the demographics of a faculty or a PhD community and see what's reflected, why are there no blacks here? Why are there no Caribbeans here? Why are there no Hispanics or no internationals? And if you were to ask the people who aren't there, the reasons would run the gamut. I wasn't invited, or I don't feel welcome. No one else like me is here, and I don't know how to enter. Relationship building happens in contexts where I'm not comfortable or not invited. The music contains nothing from my tradition. The style of presentation or worship is not familiar, and there's no obvious doorway for me to come in. The topics don't address my most pressing concerns. Now, on the other hand, when we experience a community that's ethnically diverse, socially diverse, where a range of students feel at home, we know that by default, or more often, with some very thoughtful planning, intentionality has surrounded decisions about invitation, about welcome, about worship, about topics, about prayer and hospitality. Many of you have been part of conversations like this for years on campus. So it's not surprising at all that our vision begins with students, begins with campus. In order to strengthen our ability to do this, we need to strengthen our ability to be on cross-culturally hospitable teams ourselves. We need to shape a structure where people of all cultures can work together, and we need to think about how that impacts all the aspects of our work. As one who's worked on writing the GFM Multi-Ethnic Task Force mandate, I can tell you that when I talk about the four ways we're going to try to do that in the next several years, I am as aware as anybody of what's not yet on that page. And we can pray together for clarity and direction of what comes after these things. So tonight I want to share the four prime things that we'll be working on in the next couple years. First of all, we want to strengthen cross-cultural competency throughout GFM. And we're beginning our work on that right here this week. You've already invested in telling us. We did a survey that all of you who are not new contributed to, and you chose the area of cross-cultural skills from among the four cultural competencies on the wheel. So thank you for participating, for those of you who did. We're glad for the thoughtful self-assessment. And one of the things we've begun doing here is establishing a foundation for shared language and practice, ways to talk to each other about what we're trying to do. You might think that this couple days is really important. Actually, what's most important is what happens next. It's important that you go back and continue these conversations and the learning on your teams. All of us know that most of this work has to happen in relationship. So we're hopeful that your teams will use the next year and the assignments that you've been given to continue to grow your cross-cultural skills and to expand your knowledge. You'll be getting tonight an assignment that goes out the door with you here, and it's going to look long, and actually, it's just a few hours. It's just a few hours of work on your own, and it's just a few hours of work on your team. But we're pretty confident if you do those few hours of work on your own and those hours of work on your team that your conversations will advance, and your comfort with working cross-culturally through difficulties, through challenges, through sorting out values, through making plans together will be strengthened. I think we all know at the end of today and hearing some of the stories we've heard that no one ever arrives on cross-cultural competency. We just get clearer and clearer on our need to be learners. One of my models for that is Neil Rendell. Neil's just recently retired and he used to be on staff in the New York, New Jersey region. Neil tells a story as a white Midwesterner about when he came to New York City to lead the campus work. And he was appointed there to work alongside Paul Gibson, one of the first black staff. He talks about walking through Central Park one day, and one of them had called currently the National Servants Center, which used to be called headquarters. So one of them had called headquarters and said, hey, what do you want us to do? We're young, we're ready, tell us what to do. And Neil reported that no one could tell them what to do. They said, we'd just like you to figure out how to do this multi-ethnic ministry thing in New York. So as they walked through the park, they looked at each other, and Neil said, I don't know what to do. And Paul said, I don't know what to do either. And they said, well, I guess we'll have to figure it out together. And as they began on that journey, they built some amazing things in New York. But what happened next is, as soon as Neil learned about serving black students, he began to notice Hispanic students. I was working alongside Neil when he was learning about working with women, and his categories were completely flipped on their heads. Neil just finished his career helping to launch the ministry to Native American students. He spent a whole career as a learner, a risk taker, a humble man willing to say, I don't know, but someone needs to figure it out. That's the invitation. So the picture you're looking at here is obviously of a very white team, the Midwest team. And you can see there are a lot of white faces on that team, men and women. These guys have already jumped into their cross-cultural learning experience. Last staff conference, Charles Yu helped them do some reflecting on multi-ethnicity in Scripture. So don't let the color of your skin hold you back from the risk-taking and learning that it takes to do ministry. Some of you are on all-white teams. Some of you are going to need to invite volunteers or advisors or donors to join you for conversations as you seek to become more cross-culturally competent. That's okay. It's important that we have everyone's investment. So our invitation is to continue engaging in your own learning and to bring that to your team in a vulnerable way. Our invitation is to share that learning with other teams, with other people, as you keep growing in your own experience of working together. And one of the things you'll do in your assignment is set a team learning goal, and we're actually going to collect those and publish them so you can pray for each other in the learning process. Secondly, we want to hire more staff from a variety of ethnic backgrounds. We understand with clarity that our teams will be able to learn about cross-cultural relationships and practice cross-cultural ministry more effectively if they include people of color. People like Mickey at Harvard, like Charmaine at Suffolk, like Elsie in the National Service Center with faculty ministry, like Jana, like Charles, like Felicia. Thank you, all of you from the ethnic minority community who are on the journey with us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for journeying with us. We need people of other cultures to help us shape GFM, and we can't fully know others' experience in ministry and on our teams unless they're at the table with us. Later this month, Deb Clark is going to participate in an action learning group as part of the staff director's training. And that group will be studying practices for hiring, retaining, and funding ethnic minority staff from across the country. The GFMLT will begin work this spring and continue into next fall trying to create our own best practices for use, hiring, and placing staff in GFM. Our strategic plan calls for adding ethnic minority staff to all of our teams, and we're praying toward that. We're seeking funding to provide startup money for at least six ethnic minority staff, and we're hoping there'll be more than that. We're praying for an increase in ethnic minority staff on our leadership teams as well. So we invite all of you, every one of you, to pray for ethnic diversity on your own teams, to pray for the men and women who will come and join you at your tables, join us at our broader table. We invite you to have your eyes open, to seek those people, to figure out who they are, and to get alongside them as they consider joining us. The third thing we want to do is we want to ensure that reaching out across ethnic boundaries is embedded in our ministry models and in the way we train staff to come and do work with us. The picture you're seeing is of some volunteers, faculty, students of a newly planted chapter at SUNY Albany, where Tom Corey is the staff worker. When you look at this picture, do you imagine this is an all-white group, an all-Asian group? This is a group that's going to draw a lot of kinds of people in the door. We're assigning part of the multi-ethnic task force this fall to begin working on examining all they can about best practices for chapter building and planting and embedding multi-ethnicity deeply within those, multi-ethnic welcome, multi-ethnic hospitality. Currently, there are several folks serving on the national planting team, and they are from the multi-ethnic ministries team, and they are also looking at these same questions across InterVarsity and we'll be polling them. And our hope is that as we can begin to do this work, we'll be able to create our own, again, best practices for what we're going to try to do. One piece of this, I want to say to encourage you, is we will begin to examine the question of how to mix and when to choose ethnic-specific and ethnic general groups. And I know a lot of you have concerns about this. And I know some of your concerns is you're a little afraid that we'll rob multi-ethnic groups of their chance to be multi-ethnic. We promise you we're going to do good work and good thinking on this. And we'll ask many of your help as we're doing it. One thing we know about you, most every one of you, is that you're passionate about God's work on campus, and you're passionate about the kingdom. So we know if you're learning something that's important to you, that it won't take long at all until you're translating it into what you're doing with students, that you'll be creating your own resources and tools and models. So we're counting on you to experiment with cross-cultural learning and to share it with each other on your teams and beyond your teams. So we invite you to be willing to take risks and change the way you do ministry to reach out to a wider group of students. And we invite you to share any resources you have with the GFMLT and with the Multi-Ethnic Task Force. Finally, we're going to ask questions about what the GFM structure should look like as we strengthen our work in international student ministry and ethnic-specific ministry. Who will we train? Who will train and equip new staff in cross-cultural training, and how? How will we equip current staff who want to begin work with new student groups? How will BSAP grow? What other ethnic-specific groups will come into being? Who will develop the resources that we need to serve internationals and faculty from specific ethnic groups? There are a million more questions like that, and one of the pieces of work we need to do is ask, how will our structure change? What will it look like? What leadership will we need to move into the next season? We're hoping to hire an international student ministries graduate and faculty director sometime in 2014. Our discussions about what happens structurally with ethnic-specific ministries have not even yet begun. But you can pray for us and with us as we think together about that. We learn from what BSAP's already learned, and as we continue asking the question about what we should be doing beyond this. I invite you to jump in with both feet. We welcome your questions, and we're going to take some questions now. I invite you to pray with us and for us. I'm going to open the floor for questions in a minute, but I'm going to let Bobby finish with a comment.
Really, my comment is amen, let it be so. I am really excited that we're going to push further down this path towards being an effective multi-ethnic ministry across the board. At this point, 20% of our combined CSMs, campus staff members, and associate staff members are people of color. So that's 29 out of 144. But we are praying for God to grant a significant increase for the sake of the mission. And just to reiterate what Nancy's saying, we're inviting all of you, all of us, to be all in. And whatever that will mean, learning, praying, experimenting, risk-taking, exchanging resources, and definitely enjoying the fruit of this effort.